Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Coming up today at 12:30, Fun with Vegas Odds. We do this every once in a while. We find stuff in Vegas that has the same odds. And which bet would you take? It's been a minute since we've done that, so we'll do it today. 12:30, 12:35-ish here on the Carson Anderson program. Look, today is one of those days that it was actually a huge moment in Detroit sports history. 21 years ago today, the Detroit Pistons traded for Rasheed Wallace. It was a move that put that team over the top. The most obvious over-the-top move right now, staring us in the face, would be the Myles Garrett trade. There's accessibility. Seems to the Lions may have exactly what they want, which is a draft capital that it would seem like they'd be willing to part with. Cleveland's kind of stuck for what feels to me like two seasons, while they have 70 plus million sunk into a quarterback that may never play for them again. So they may as well be playing for 3 years from now. Now, could somebody else give higher draft capital? Of course, but that is a screaming position of need. And I think the Lions would be wise to part with two number ones as a starting point to move in on Myles Garrett. Now, other moves that would put our teams over the top. We've had a lot of suggestions for Pistons, Tigers, and Red Wings, and probably the one that has garnered the most attention today from our audience would be, can the Tigers go get Vlad Guerrero, who they reached the deadline of him reporting to spring training. It feels like a fake deadline to me. Like, hey, I'm not going to negotiate once we start the season. But you as a player don't have to do anything. Your agent and the team's front office can do it, all of it behind the scenes, and you don't have to know anything about it. Sometimes people put these deadlines out there and they mean it. I'm getting a free agency. But with that in mind, the Tigers have a deep well of tradable prospects. If Toronto's going to have to move him before the season or at the trade deadline, that's probably the second most popular over-the-top move that we got in terms of feedback from the audience today. So, again, if you want to continue down that road, we'll take your phone calls. Any comments on that before we move on?
No, sir.
All right. We got that dueling mock drafts, 4 updated mock drafts, 4 different players coming to Detroit. Dave Burkett of the Free Press, his mock draft released today. Nick Scorton, edge rusher, Texas A&M. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, released yesterday. Donovan Jackson, guard, Ohio State. Field Yates, ESPN, released yesterday. Gray Zabel, guard, center, Nodak State. And Daniel Flick, Sports Illustrated, released this morning. Derek Harmon, defensive tackle, Oregon. We've put it out there on Twitter. Go vote. And we will read comments on the air, so feel free to comment. Check it out on Twitter, at DougAndGator971. All right, so spring training games start Saturday. Tigers take on Philadelphia. And you heard there during the update that Kenta Maeda is getting the start. I feel like, and maybe the list is longer, but I made a list of 4 Tigers that have either underachieved or disappointed. And if you had to bet on one of them to bounce back, which would you bet on?
Okay.
Would it be Maeda, who gets that start, 6.09 ERA, 138 whip, hasn't been what they hoped he would be as a starting pitcher. They kind of repurposed him and used him in the pen, of course, but Maeda. Would you go with Maeda as a bounce-back candidate? Would you go with Casey Mize? Casey Mize has dealt with injuries on and off last year, went 2-6 with a 4.49 ERA and a dreadful 1.47 walks and hits per innings pitched, but still seems to have some talent. Would you go with Spencer Torkelson, who hit 219 last year, struck out 105 times, and had a brutal 295 on base percentage? Or would you go with Javi Baez, whose struggles have been well documented?
This is tough.
It is tough.
I think
we don't ask easy questions
here
at Carson Anderson.
We don't. I mean, Maeda has a track record of kind of correcting himself and having some interesting, you know, strikeout rates to walk rates, and like that there's something there. And even last year, there were stretches where he was great, and then there were stretches where he was awful. Javi Baez is the one that might intrigue me the most, because this is like his last opportunity, right? Hey, we tried everything. We tried working with your swing. We tried doing this and that.
We tried surgery.
And now we're trying surgery because, you know, that was, we recognized it was debilitating for you. And what Javi said immediately after the surgery, or at least what he's talked about that, he said, you know, immediately after the surgery, I felt better in terms of being balanced. He said, I wasn't leaning to one side when I would sit, sit up. Before I would like kind of lean to a side. Now I was sitting up straight immediately after surgery. So you start thinking about that. You know, how would that affect you? If not only do you have pain in the hip, but the pain in the hip causes you to overcompensate and now you're off balance the whole time. I mean, is it logical to think that contributes to his swing and miss rate or his just poor showing over the last couple of years? I think it can to an extent, but I'm not sure what that extent is. That's why I think it's intriguing. I mean, he was horrible last year, statistically hitting 184. Brutal, right? And his OPS was 516, which is like historically low. And yet, what I can't ignore is a crazy statistical anomalation with him. When he was at bat with runners in scoring position, keep in mind, this is a guy who hit 186 with, 519 OPS?
Yep.
With runners in scoring position, 65 at bats. It's not a small sample size, I don't think. He hit 308 with an 884 OPS.
Something to be said for that.
There's something to be said for that. And it's like he can only hit the runners in scoring position, because if they're not, then he was brutal. 129 with a 356 OPS and 155 at bats when there was nobody on base.
Has there been a direct medical correlation drawn between hip surgery and your eyesight?
I don't know. I mean, I think, you, like I say, logically speaking, can you chalk it up to partially? Now, he's a free swinger. Yeah. He always has been. But would you look worse when you're a free swinger and you're always off balance? Is that possible could you buy that?
I mean,
again, always a free swinger, and he's going to have tons of swings and miss and always going to strike out. But are you going to look a hell of a lot worse if you can't be balanced?
So I'm not particularly optimistic, but I think of this as a financial commitment has been made to this player that unfortunately locks us in this relationship longer than we already want to be, given the return on the dollar. It's like having a contract that you have to pay off, and your choice is try and get the most out of the product you're paying for, or admittedly just say, I'm not going to try anymore and I'm going to get nothing, but I still have to pay the bill. Like, I know that there's a complete and total disconnect. Fans just want him gone. And the reason is that what's saving him is that they owe him so much stinking money. It's like they owe themselves. Like, what else? How else can we try and get something out of this? So he gets more and more and more and more chances. Torque looks lost. Like it's actually sometimes a tough watch to watch him at the plate. And the thing is, I always felt like you could count him for a walk. But I mean, maybe the on base percentage is just a direct reflection of how bad the batting average is. It's still, I love seeing guys whose, on base percentage is 100 points higher than their batting average, and he's not that anymore. But
no, but he was 76 points better.
Yeah,
which is good.
Yeah.
But when you're hitting 219, it doesn't look great to have an OBP under 300, which is where he was at. But, and again, with Baez, I'm not predicting Javi Baez is going to have a great season or a great spring. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that I think it's intriguing to see if the surgery really does help him or not. Can it make him an average hitter?
Well,
and the other thing that will go completely under the radar until I mention it now, Doug, how does the surgery affect how he plays defense? Because he was a very good shortstop prior, right? And then he started to slip a little bit defensively. He was still making some plays, but there would be the plays like, how he's not making that. What's going on? If he feels more balanced at the plate, wouldn't it stand to reason he would feel more balanced as a shortstop and playing defensively? Can he be better there? And does he add more value in that aspect? In the end, I think what happens is if he's not hitting, then he's going to sit. And if he's going to sit, then they have to make a decision. At what point can they just buy him out? Because he'd be preventing somebody else.
I can't believe we're having this conversation, to be honest with you.
For like a third straight year.
Right? Like, but this one particular, because if you asked me 6 months ago, I don't think anyone in the right mind would have thought, there's no way Javi Baez is even invited to spring training, right? This is over, right? They've parted ways. But here we are. And I do ask this, though, because they didn't get Alex Bregman. Can Javi be repurposed as a third baseman? I mean, if you have a hip surgery, and you don't have to have the range as you do as a shortstop if you're playing third. And if he still has those defensive skills, because shortstops generally are your like one of your better athletes on the team. They have range. They're good defensively. You don't have to have that range at third. And right now the Tigers, I'm not so sure who's the starting third baseman on this team, are you? I mean, they're gonna try to figure it out this spring, of course, but it feels like there's an open spot there. Ish.
Well, I mean, there's competition
for sure.
I mean,
right?
if they're working out Hao Yu Lee over at third base, and in addition to Jace Young, and you got Matt Vierling, all these guys are kind of working over there. Let alone you could put Andy Ibañez there, McKinstry. All these guys can play third base. I agree with you. It would stand to reason that a shortstop by trade, when your skills erode as a shortstop, where do you go?
Third base.
So can he do that? But he's going to have to show that he can hit.
Yeah, and that's a huge hole in his game right now.
Yeah, it's a massive hole in his game right now, and this is what is going to be watched very closely in spring training. And you bring up Spencer Torkelson, it's the same thing. Tork's got to figure it out. He's got to hit, and nobody liked his response when he was talking about the batting cage situation. Now the Tigers have this great batting cage that measures all these different metrics, and Tork's like, yeah, I'm not into any of that. I'm more old school. And then AJ Hinch had to try to clean that up a little bit and say, no, he's going to be watching video. He's going to be paying some attention to this stuff. But we do like that he just wants to swing more freely and, be more natural with it. But if you've got all these things that are there to help you out and you're going to ignore that, I don't think you're going to be here.
All right, 248-539-9797, Tiger fans. Look, it's possible that none of these guys rebound. But if you had to bet on one, Torque, Baez, Maeda, or Mize, who would you put your bunny behind saying, this guy might, if I had to pick one of them, this might be the guy for a bounce back year. 248-539-9797, Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. March is almost here and college basketball is reaching its most exciting stretch of the season. Right now, new customers on FanDuel get $150 in bonus bets when your first $5 bet wins. That's 150 extra bucks to bet on everything from conference clashes to tournament upsets, even who's cutting down nets. So Go find a heavy favorite, bet them on the money line with your $5. Your return won't be huge, but you know what will be? That $150 in bonus bets that you can do with whatever you want. Just visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit and get in on the college hoops action before March takes over. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Some fun with Vegas odds coming up today at 12:35. 248-539-9797. Open lines, talking a little bit about the Tigers. Spring training starts on Saturday. And we've got, we're kind of asking, but guys who struggled, is any of them capable of a bounce back? And if so, which one? Torque, Baez, Maeda, and Mize. 248-539-9797. Joe is in Sterling Heights, and he's on 97 on the ticket. Hello, Joe.
Hey, boys. How we doing?
Doing all
right,
good, Joe.
Good to hear from you. So, get right to the point, I think Torque has the biggest upside. I think, he has the smallest contract out of all those guys. He's the youngest out of all those guys. You know, I do think he could bounce back. I hate his comments about the analytic thing. I saw Darren McCarty talk about that on his podcast a few days ago. You can't really do that unless if you're a winner. You can't really, plant your flag, so to speak, unless if you have the background to it. Maeda's cooked, Baez is cooked, and Mize, he's just always hurt. So I don't really think anything into that. But one quick little thing I wanted to say, I know King mentioned it earlier, why don't we like the idea of going after Devers? I know it's a big contract, but we're offering Bregman seven years, and Devers is clearly head above shoulders better than Bregman.
Well, I just can't imagine he's really available.
He's got a massive contract, too.
If he's disenchanted with being in Boston, and say Boston, I saw what Cora said basically we're going to do what's best for Boston. And so if they end up putting him at second base in, and he becomes available, would that be somebody that you guys would be willing to, trade just about anybody for?
I don't know if I'd trade just about anybody for him, but if he gets to the point where he becomes available, yes, I would absolutely call, and I would see if something could be done there.
Devers he's 28 years old right now, and he still has a contract that's going to pay him until he's 36 years old at roughly $30 million a year. A little bit north of $30 million.
A Miggy contract.
Yeah, without the Miggy impact. I mean, he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. I like Rafael Devers a lot. But last year, 28 home runs, 83 RBIs, 871 OPS are solid numbers. How much longer is he going to keep putting up those solid numbers before you look at, oh, crap, now we've got six more years to pay this guy at $30-plus million dollars a year?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how much that timeline of contract would follow along with Bregman. But he would make him better. I will say that I do not think there'll be a path to getting him. I don't think he'll truly
to get Devers.
I don't think he'll truly become available. I think they're going to sort that out.
I think they sort it out.
If they couldn't sort that out and they made that kind of financial commitment to Bregman?
Well, maybe they like Bregman better than Devers, and maybe they're just trying to flush out the Devers contract.
I suppose that could be it, but
to free up money to go for Vlad Jr. next year.
248-539-9797. Marty and Taylor. Hi, Marty.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
What's
right.
up?
Hey, so hitting, if you watch both of these guys, when they finish and they're looking down, say, third baseline or a left-hander down first baseline, they're never going to hit the ball. When they're hitting and they're on the ball, and they're finishing with their head right down on the ball. I mean, take a peek and watch them, guys. I've taught hitting for a long time, and I think it's a focus, and That's all it is for the hitting part of it. But I like Baez. He's got a much more upside than any of them.
Where'd you teach hitting?
Well, I taught it at a place called Game On Sports Center here in Taylor. And, you know, Taylor won the Little League World Series. So we play a lot of ball here, you know, in Taylor.
You coach those kids?
I coach kids, man.
No, did you coach those kids that won the World Series? Sorry.
Oh, I've coached a few of them. There's a lot of – quite a few hitting coaches here in Taylor. You wouldn't believe it. And they do well.
You know, there's hitting coaches with the Tigers, too.
Wait a second. Did you confirm that?
Let me check. Yep. Several, in fact, with the Tigers, with the big league club.
So I guess the implication is that the Tigers have a hitting coach issue?
Well, it's common about the players if their head's not on the ball, if they're pulling away from it, they're not going to hit. I mean, that's batting 101, right?
Yep.
You know, facing major league pitching, we have no idea where the ball is going to be. The hardest thing to do in sports is to hit a round ball square.
You know, the thing about the torque stuff, right? The torque comments that everybody freaked out about. I feel like those comments came from frustration. I would love to see the interaction that led up to torques. What you say in interactions with the media, I sometimes go, okay, I don't know if I'm buying it. And I would like to have seen that whole interaction, because when AJ Hinch was made privy to it, AJ was like, I don't know about it. You could tell he was like, I don't know about that. And I think he's just trying to simplify things and he's going to watch film. Because that kind of stubbornness, I think, comes out of, I'm going to guess that wasn't a great interaction before he said it.
Reading all the comments on that day that came out, the tenor didn't seem like again, I didn't see video of his facial expressions were, but just by reading everything else, didn't seem like it was talking from frustration. It seemed like, you know, just, hey, you know, matter of fact, this is who I'm, an old school guy. I get up there and, you know, I trust my abilities and what's worked. I've worked through things before, and that's, you know, I suspect that's what's going to happen here. And he also knows, and this is in front of cameras and microphones, that he has said that, look, I got to be better. I know I got to be better. And he's taken a very positive approach, but what he had to say was just a little off-putting.
Yeah, if he turns out that he's uncoachable, it's just basically, it's not going to be a Tigers issue. It's going to be a torque issue with everybody in baseball. He's like, I'm doing it my way, and that's the only way I'm possibly going to, I'm going to attempt to fix this thing. The hell with what you suggest. He'll be out of the game.
Well, maybe after spring, before going to Detroit, just stops off in Taylor for a bit.
let's go to Jake in Heartland. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Scott, Doug, love the show. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
So I think the most upside has got to be Maeda, for at least a couple of reasons here. One, selfishly for the Tigers, I think he just has to be better. And for his own gains, you know, if he wants another contract after this, he's got to put up numbers. And I think, you know, as a veteran pitcher like him, he's had more good positive years and he just hasn't. And, you know, people like him are going to be due every now and again just to have a bad year. You know, and for Torkelson, I've kind of moved on with him. You know, you put Colt Keith over at first, and I think he'll be somebody that could potentially be trade bait, you know, be a project for somebody else down the road. And then the last thing I'll end on to with this is, out of anybody in free agency or potential trades, things like that, I'm really only interested in seeing Vlad Guerrero Jr. in a Tigers jersey. I know it might take a lot to get him. I know he would have a long contract or want that, $300 million, whatever it may be. But, you know, to me, it just seems like at 25 years old, he has the most upside. And, you know, pitching has been a strong suit. That's why, you know, I think that Maeda has the most upside with Chris Fetter. But really, besides that, we need a strong, solid young bat. And if you can't get him, they don't get him. But
so it was a huge story. It was a huge story, obviously, yesterday in Major League Baseball when he reached his deadline, the self-proclaimed deadline, which feels like a false deadline to me. So where do the Tigers rank in the possibility of getting him? CBS Sports put together a list listing the teams from 30 down to 1. And they were in some categories, and the Tigers were in the category of it would be a monster upset if one of these teams got them. Those teams were Baltimore, Colorado, Kansas City, Detroit, St. Louis, and Minnesota. And the Tigers were 19th out of all the teams in Major League Baseball. The one thing that the Tigers would have is minor league prospects that are coveted. And they're one of the few teams that's at the top of the list that could really, really pay the necessary price. I think it's worth talking about. If he doesn't get traded before the season starts and you get into the year, things that we need to pay attention to is a quick start, which this team could really, really use to sort of help spark the discussions of taking on a player like that or any player that's going to cost a little bit more short or long term. Two is Toronto fall behind quickly in the American League East. And if I had to bet right now, I bet he re-ups with Toronto. I would bet that.
I would not. I don't know if players want to, and if they have the opportunity to make money in the United States over Canada, they would. And he's going to get monster offers from the teams out East.
Carson Anderson, 97.1, the ticket.
Hey, got the winter blues and you need a spark to get you through this? Well, Sarah Chevrolet in Southfield can give you the jolt that you need because the deals on the 2024 Chevy Blazer all-wheel drive EVs are incredible. So much so, Sarah Chevrolet bought out every 2024 in the county that they could find. And you can now lease an all-wheel drive Blazer EV for just $199 a month with only $999 down. Now, that's taxes and fees included, and these are shockingly low payments. The 2024 Chevy Blazer EV, it comes standard with heated seats, heated steering wheel, and all-wheel drive, all to help you give your drive go so much smoother this winter, like we know it's going to be, right? Bolt into Sarah Chevrolet in Southfield before they're all gone. And believe me, at these low payments, these Blazer EVs are going to be gone soon. Not only does Sarah Chevrolet Southfield have late nights, but they are also open on Saturdays for sales and for service with loaner vehicles available too. Shop online at sarahchevrolet.com or give them a call. Sarah Chevrolet Southfield, they're generating excitement. Together, let's drive.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 the ticket. 248-539-9797. We asked this question. We got a lot of traction on it. Spring training games start Saturday. I think people are getting hungry for Tiger baseball. The question was, if any of these guys would bounce back, who would you bet on? Torque, Baez, Maeda, or Mize? Feedback coming in. Daniel Clinton Township says, I think Torque finds his swing. Javi's a lost cause. Maeda just doesn't seem to have it anymore, and Mize is still a wild card. From an unnamed texter, none of the above. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate your participation. Did the surgery lengthen his arm so he can hit baseballs 2 feet outside? That's obviously regarding Baez. Mize, but only because of injury limiting his ability to pitch. We have seen a large enough sample size with the other three to know they are all not good. Look, Mize, it's been frustrating. It's been frustrating with Mize, but he has dealt with injuries. It would be great to see him. What was it last year we said that the key number for Casey Mize, if you're looking for a metric, something that signifies that the season has been a degree of a success, I think we said 30 starts. just give us 30 starts, and that for Casey Mize would be a full successful year. He gave him 20.
Yeah, and the only time he's had 30 starts in his career was his second year with the Tigers. He made 30 starts, had a 3.71 earned run average, and we were excited. What was to come? Well, injuries. Two starts the next year with a 5.4 ERA. Last year, 20 starts and a 4.49 earned run average with a high whip of 1.47. That second year, so much reason to be excited about if you're a Tigers. With a 3.71 ERA and a 1.14 whip, and we're thinking, is this guy going to be on a track like Verlander was, right? Maybe not the strikeout pitcher, but has the command and is only going to get better. Well, he's been hurt and it hasn't been better. Looking at his game log from last year, you know, you hope there's still some promise there, and there is, but I don't know if he's going to get the opportunity to start.
248-539-9797. Alex in Berkeley is next. Hi, Alex.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. Gator, I think you just brought up a great point, and that's he doesn't have to be a starter to be a bounce-back candidate, and that's in Casey Mize. I mean, roster flexibility is A.J. Hinch's, you know, big thing, and if Casey Mize can capture some lightning in a bottle, he could be a great long relief guy. Or with the injury to Alex Cobb, there is some flexibility to the rotation for him to claim that fifth starter role. So I think that the player has the mental makeup to really be a bounce-back candidate, especially for the guys that you guys put out there in terms of candidates. And then two more quick things, if I will. The Rafael Devers thing, he is the worst-rated third baseman in the league. And with the infield shaping up the way it is, they can't, you know, necessarily have that. And he is also a left-handed stick. So they need a righty in that lineup. And then the question I have for you guys, I'm attending my first spring training game next week against the Boston Red Sox. Do I let Bregman have it? Do I hold up a sign with the A.J. Hinch quote that says, if you don't come here, we're going to beat you? What do you guys think?
I like that a lot.
If you don't, like... I'm so relieved they didn't get him, and with an acknowledgement that he would have helped them this year. But there's something about this whole thing that just doesn't sit right. My hunch is that this is going to be a problem for Boston eventually. So I like the idea of holding up the A.J. Hinch quote. I like it a lot.
Getting back to him on board with Casey Mize, and that he doesn't have to be a starter to make an impact. And he's right. He can come out of the bullpen. But last year, he was a little Jekyll and Hyde last year. He did show signs. I mean, out of the gate, in the month of April, he pitched 26 innings with a 3.08 earned run average. Not so good in May. It jumped to 6.56 with his ERA. But then in June, 29 innings, a 3.41 earned run average. And then he missed all of July. Pitched one game at the end of August, wasn't very good, and not very good to finish up the season in September. But he had a couple of months there where he was good. He's got to harness it. But here's the problem that I have with when it comes to pitchers, and Casey Mize is now 27 years old. He's going to be 28 in May. When you read quotes about a guy who was reported last week and he's like, oh, I'm working on this, I'm working on, like, still working on things. I get that you're always going to be fine-tuning stuff, but like if you're still trying to discover a pitch that's not revealed itself at the age of 27, and hopefully if you're relying on that to make you the better pitcher, the more consistent pitcher, I'm not sure if that's something you should be looking at or relying on when you're this old.
We're pushing back the fun with Vegas odds. We go to Tony in Madison Heights. You're next. Hi, Tony.
Hi, guys. I got two comments on two different guys of the four. One is Torkelson. I think he's going to be the bounce back guy because it's paralysis by analysis right now with him. So I think he's going to go over to see the ball, hit the ball, and just go let his instincts take over. And I think there's less pressure on him this year because of last year. So I think Torkelson's the bounce-pass guy. As far as Javi Baez goes, I don't think he's going up. I think he's going down. And I'm wondering if they're doing all this stuff with him just to try to get a disability insurance claim and see if somebody should, you know, pay for some of that because that might be in the mix. He could be the UA Krupp of the Tigers. What do you think?
I think that's quite possible, you know, that they've exhausted everything from a standpoint of coaching and try to mentor and teach and all that. And if in the end, look, he's not getting surgery. It's not elective hip surgery. You're getting it because there's a legitimate injury there. Now, does that help the Tigers' cause if it doesn't work out that they can make a claim? Yeah, I'm sure it does. And this is like the last-ditch effort to get things right. Now he's recovered. He's, you know, taking batting practice. He's fielding grounders. Okay. Is he going to be a full go this spring? Yeah, it sounds like it. At some point he'll be a full go, and they'll be able to evaluate it. But I just I have a hard time thinking he's going to be as bad as he was last year. And the fact that those numbers with 65 at-bats and runners in scoring position, that he was so good, there's something there with him. Can he reclaim it? Torque, I don't know if he can. Because it seems like Torque has been very hesitant and reluctant to embrace the technology of the metrics that are in the analytics. And I feel like he's been saying he's going to trust his swing for years. He said that.
I bet when it's all said and done, Torque does. But we'll see. If he doesn't, it might be at his own peril. All right. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. They specialize. Michigan Auto Law has recovered more million-dollar auto accident results than any lawyer or law firm in Michigan. If you do your research, you'll see it's the truth about Michigan Auto Law over any other law firm in the state. Same thing. Largest truck accident settlement of any lawyer or law firm in Michigan ever. $14.3 million. That specialization matters, which is why if someone in my family needs a lawyer for an auto accident, I'm sending them to my guy Steve and the folks at Michigan Auto Law. They care more, you win more. Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Toyota's legacy has been standing tall for generations. From pioneering hybrid technology to redefining the standards of safety and efficiency. Each innovation, a renewed commitment to progress. And with Toyota's legendary lineup of trucks in stock at your local Toyota dealer, you can experience the legacy for yourself. So check out the ultra-rugged new 2024 Tacoma, built for off-road adventure or everyday practicality. Or test drive a heavy-duty half-ton 2024 Tundra. Decked out with modern tech and comfort with a haul anything attitude. And both Tacoma and Tundra are available with the iForce Max Hybrid powertrain, giving your truck more power than ever before. Quality, reliability, efficiency. That's the legacy of Toyota. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals, to find out more. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, so feedback here. Let's start with updating you on our Twitter poll. We had the four dueling mock drafts from Burkett, Jeremiah, Field Yates of ESPN, and Daniel Flick of Sports Illustrated, all updated in the last 24 hours. Right now, Daniel Jeremiah's pick of Donovan Jackson, guard Ohio State, is in fourth place with 12.3% of the vote. Field Yates' pick of Gray Zabel, interior offensive lineman from Nodak State, is in third place with 12.9% of the vote. In second place with 23.4% of the vote is Daniel Flick of Sports Illustrated's Derek Harmon pick. And the most popular mock draft belongs to Detroit's own Dave Burkett, who is got the Lions taking Nick Skorton, 51.5% of the vote.
Yeah, I can understand. Dave's a devilishly handsome fella. Knows what he's talking about.
Is that how you describe him?
Yes.
I would just go with handsome. I wouldn't say devilishly handsome.
I think there's some devil qualities to it.
Do you? Feedback.
He looks the same age now as he did when I met him like 25 years ago, Doug.
That actually is true. That man has not aged. I think when I first met him, I thought he was older than he was, and now I think he's younger than he is.
Right?
Does that make any sense? Robert Lavonia writes in, my choice is Gray Zabel, guard center. We can always pick up a defensive tackle with a free agent or later picks in the draft. Also, Frank Ragnow will be retiring soon. Tim and Lapierre, I would love the Derek Harmon pick. I think it's easier to find offensive line help later in the draft, but we desperately need to improve the defensive line. And he gives us all kinds of off the chart picks that weren't made available. Steven Southfield says, at pick 28, it's Derek Harmon. Hopefully he's still there. He has a great first step. Just look at what the Eagles' defensive line provided. Thank you for all your feedback. 248-539-9797. Fun with Vegas odds. We haven't done this in a while. Do we have music for this? Sorry, Kang. Oh, we do. I knew we did. It's been months. The odds come courtesy of FanDuel and betonline.ag. Are you ready, my friend?
Yes. Am I supposed to answer on the ones or the twos?
With this
bomb ass beat, I'm just wondering.
You can answer however you please.
Okay.
Yes. But spit truth. Please, Gator.
It's the only way
truth.
I know how.
All right, 40-1. All these things are 40-1.
40-1.
Dylan Larkin winning the MVP of the Four Nations faceoff. 40-1.
Okay.
Michigan cutting down the nets and winning March Madness. 40-1. The Reds landing Vlad Guerrero, 40-1. Quinn Hughes wins the Hart Trophy as MVP of the NHL, 40-1. And Ricky Fowler wins a major this year, 40-1.
I know the two that I'd lean towards. I mean, Ricky Fowler's got that opportunity. He'll have four opportunities to do it, I suppose. But the one I'm going to go with is Dylan Larkin. If Dylan Larkin scores the game-winning goal tomorrow night, I think he's likely to win the MVP.
I think I agree. I go with Dylan Larkin. The choices are Dylan Larkin, 40-1 to win the MVP. Michigan wins March Madness. Vlad Guerrero ends up as a Red. Quinn Hughes wins the Hart Trophy. And Ricky Fowler wins a major. 40-1. Kang, which one would you play?
So this is just totally with my heart here.
Yep.
I got Pretty Ricky winning one, man. I like Ricky.
I like Ricky too.
Right?
He was golfing last night.
Yeah, you don't know, man. He gets that one tournament and that whole weekend he's on fire.
I keep waiting for him to turn the corner and be that guy that he was like 12 years ago, 15 years ago.
What's been that long?
And it's another guy who hasn't really aged. But yeah, it's been forever since he was relevant on the golf course. I love Ricky Fowler.
These things are 4-1, according to betonline.ag. Four to one. Malik Beasley wins NBA Sixth Man of the Year.
Could see that.
Duke cuts down Nets, wins March Madness.
And that's chalk. Yeah.
4-1. The Atlanta Braves land Vlad Guerrero. 4-1. Connor McDavid wins the Four Nations MVP. 4-1. And the Montreal Alouettes win the Grey Cup in the CFL, 4-1.
I will go with Cooper Flagg and Duke cutting down the nets. Okay. I hate it, but I mean, I saw some stat the other day, or no, it wasn't a stat. They just threw up on the screen. It was a ranking of players in college basketball, and Duke had like six of the top 30 mm-hmm. for the upcoming draft. Like, that's insane. It's absolutely insane, but that's Duke.
I'm going to go with Connor McDavid winning the MVP of the Four Nations.
We can't do that if Dylan Larkin's going to win it, Doug.
I hope Dylan Larkin wins it. Kang?
I've got Malik Beasley because I think the Pistons make a run the second half of the year here, and I think he's a big reason why. It's crazy because, Doug, Malik Beasley started the year at 100-1 to win the Sixth Man of the Year. Now up to 4-1? My man, take it home. Take it home.
That's a really good investment if anybody made it. All right, finally, these things are 10-1. Michigan State makes the Final Four. It's 10-1. Jordan Spieth wins a major. 10-1. Vlad Guerrero's next team is the Dodgers. 10-1. The Red Sox win the American League. 10-1. Cade Klubnik wins the Heisman, a quarterback from Clemson, 10-1. Which of these 10-1s would you play?
I'm going to go with the Clubber.
You're going with Klubnik?
I'm going to go with the Clubber, yeah. ACC schedule, usually been pretty favorable to Clemson. He quietly had a pretty good year last year, mm-hmm. really good year last year. I'm going to go with the Clubber.
All right. I'm going to go Vlad Guerrero's next team is the Dodgers.
Oh, wow. Dodgers going to get a $600 million payroll?
Yes. It's good for baseball, Gator. According to the commissioner.
So says the commissioner, yeah.
Kang, which of these 10-1s would you play?
I think I agree with you, Doug. And I think it's they don't even have to sign him. I think they'll just trade for him, give up whatever it takes, try to win it again this year, and they might not bring him back. Actually, it would save them money in the long haul because they already spent too much money elsewhere.
All right, so there you go. All those different bets, different odds. I did find this on betonline.ag, and I'm going to just ask you to name someone that there are odds on. These are you can leave the music up because I really like, thank you, Kang. I really like this song.
Does you know what it sounds like?
It sounds like something from Ocean's 11.
100%. Yes.
Is it?
Oh, we pulling a heist?
Yeah.
What are we thinking here?
Yeah.
You know a Grease guy?
I do. And we're going to have to do something with the union workers in Mexico.
Doug plays a great straight man. You know, he just goes in there. He's an insurance guy. Yep. Need to see your, we're going to do an audit.
We're going to have somebody follow you around. Make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Stoney plays the role of Zerga.
Yeah.
All right. I want to know if you guys can name.
Oh, he's got the Russian accent for it. If you missed Stoney this morning, go to Odyssey. You get download the Odyssey app, use the rewind feature. You can hear Stoney talk in Russian in the morning show.
All right. These odds I find hysterical. These are odds that a celebrity is confirmed to be an alien. Odds that a celebrity is confirmed to be an alien. Can you name one person on the list?
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise is plus 3,300. Yeah, well done, Gator.
I'm going to go Kanye West.
Oh, that's a good one.
Kanye West is plus 2,000. So here's what I want. I want to see if anybody can text over a name with better odds than Kanye at plus 2,000. So we'll take your text right now at 248-539-9797. These are odds that a celebrity is confirmed to be an alien. Two very good guesses by you two. The name I would have I probably won't say it on the air.
Hmm.
I'll just say initials.
Okay.
MTG.
Not a celebrity. Not a celebrity. Whack Fair. Jar. Not a celebrity.
Fair. All right, who you got is most likely to be confirmed, celebrity most confirmed to be an alien. Can anybody do better than Kang's guess of Kanye West at plus 2,000? It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.